my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Everyone, welcome to episode 94 of my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast. And we today are going to be talking about the upcoming WWE event, Backlash. It is a SmackDown Live exclusive pay-per-view, the very first since the brand extension. And joining me for the discussion, Chad from Parts Unknown. And Chad, before we get way into this SmackDown Live event, let's talk a little bit about what happened on Raw a week ago today, if people are listening on Monday as the show drops. And a new Universal Champion, I guess now the longest reigning Universal Champion, in Kevin Owens, defeating three others, in that elimination match on Raw with the help of Triple H. What's your reaction to Owens being the new Universal Champion?
Well, Owens being the first Universal Champion, I think, is a pretty impressive feat.
No. He's not the first, despite what Stephanie McMahon said.
I believe if you listen to what was said, he is the first. Finn Balor is a figment of your imagination.
It was all a dream, right?
Yes, the Demon King is... I'm kind of torn on the Owens situation because I'm glad that he's champion. I think of the four guys in that match, he's the one that I wanted to win the match. I don't know how I feel about Triple H getting involved.
I agree.
Just because with NXT, Triple H is a de facto face. You know, it's everybody loves NXT. NXT is Triple H's baby. It's like no one's going to boo Triple. None of the Smark fans are going to boo Triple H. So when you set him up, I'm assuming as the heel because he took out Reigns and Rollins. No one's going to boo him though. You know,
but that's a big assumption to make. Do you think that it's possible? I was talking to a group of at Stride Pro Wrestling over the weekend, and a lot of them think that Triple H and Kevin Owens, and whether or not they're going to be together or not is, I guess, not the point, but they think that Rollins will remain the bad guy in all of this. Do you think that's possible?
I want to say no, just because I don't think Rollins should have been a bad guy coming back from his injury to begin with. But
he plays the role very well, though.
He plays it well.
But so does Owens. But Owens is so popular.
Yeah.
He got a huge pop coming out, and then when he won, and, you know, then there's the rumors that he didn't know he was going to win and whatnot. I mean, they're setting him up to almost be this likable guy, even though he's kind of a douchebag.
Right. And I think, you know, the logical first step would have been for Jericho to become envious and challenge him for the title, and they work a short program together, kind of making Owens the face. So I don't know. I mean, it's a weird dichotomy where you have a face you have a heel who's more of a face but acts like a heel, but the fans. Yeah, it's this the era that we live in now where fans appreciate good work. So
let me ask you this. Can you see, and I saw somebody posted it on Twitter, and of course, you know, take it for what it's worth. They posted a really neat little Triple H when he walks by Stephanie and Mick Foley, and, you know, they kind of have that little stare down for a second. And then it flashes back to all the moments that Foley and Triple H have had through the years. Do you think this could be setting up for a power struggle between Triple H and Mick Foley culminating in a match at WrestleMania?
I can say yes, because that's the WWE playbook is mm-hmm. to make the focus on the authority figure over the wrestlers. I hope it doesn't, because I'm still trying to figure out why we have a GM and a commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Because my impression when they first announced Foley and Daniel Bryan as GMs was like they were going to be the ones that would be on TV, and Stephanie and Shane would be working behind the scenes, and you'd only see them occasionally.
Right.
But now it's like they're out there every week together. So why do we have two power figures on each show?
And then I guess you could argue Triple H, and time will tell, but seemingly he is back for the first time since WrestleMania. Had he been on, I can't even remember, I don't think he's even been on NXT, has he, at least on camera?
I'm trying to think if he's been on NXT.
I don't think he was on any of the TakeOver shows.
I don't think so. I think the only appearance he's made is on the Cruiserweight Classic tournament. I think it was Cedric Alexander. After he lost, the fans were chanting, "Sign him, sign him." And as Alexander was walking back, Triple H came out, raised his hands, and I think gave a thumbs up to the fans or something like mm-hmm. that to, you know, kind of be like, yes, we're going to bring this guy back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, which again, makes him a face.
Right.
So, I don't know, it's, but then again, I mean, you can look at the WWE's characteristics of face and heels. Look at the Roman Reigns Rusev feud that just ended, where during that whole feud, based on their actions, Reigns should have been the heel and Rusev the face.
Right.
You know, Reigns was insulting Rusev. Rusev was trying to defend the honor of his wife. You know, it's like you wrote in the recent blog about CM Punk and Jeff Hardy. It's a weird...
The bad guy is usually right in what they're saying, but it's the way they say it, I guess, that makes fans want to boo them. Because, yeah, like you said, Rusev was defending his wife's honor when Randy Savage did that, you know, against Jake the Snake. He was the guy, you know, so it is an interesting dichotomy, to say the very least.
Yeah.
Well, let's dive into SmackDown Live. Their first, as we mentioned, this is the first event, solo event. And I think the main event is stacked very nicely. I like this card, actually. I like a lot about this card. Let's start with the bottom and work our way up. And I say bottom just based on how they have it stacked on the Backlash. Did I say Backlash earlier, or did I say Payback? If I said Payback, I meant Backlash.
I have not heard you say Payback. So
okay. Okay. So the Intercontinental title will be defended. The Miz taking on Dolph Ziggler. So Ziggler, of course, was hot and heavy with Dean Ambrose for the world title leading up to SummerSlam and at SummerSlam. Now he's getting in there with the Miz. I still like the Miz Maurice combination. I like his attitude. He seems to have been given new life, a second chance, so to speak. I'll just say this. I think The Miz is going to win. I want to hear what you think about it, and then I want to talk about something else related to The Miz.
I think The Miz is going to win just because I watch WWE programming and Dolph Ziggler doesn't win. But I also think that The Miz, the character that he's portraying right now, if they keep the intensity that he brought to the promo against Daniel Bryan, I think Miz can bring prestige back to the IC title if they give him the chance to do so. And I think he should be coming out week after week and putting over the title and putting over the fact that he is the champion. And, you know, he should be a focus in the company and is being neglected. And I think, you know, he should call out Stephanie and Foley or Shane and Daniel Bryan for not giving him the opportunity or the, you know, the focus that they should. But definitely, yeah, I think that this would be the wrong time to take the title off of The Miz. So
Yeah, he's definitely a hot commodity. A lot of people talking. And the other thing that I have seen, and I really didn't think about it until a friend of mine texted me and mentioned it, Weston, I'll throw his name out there, said that he had read somewhere, and now I'm seeing it more too, that that whole SmackDown, Talking Smack segment a couple weeks ago between The Miz and Daniel Bryan was to get Daniel Bryan back into the ring. That this has been the injury angle has, or the injury has been an angle, and it's just been working its way back to getting him back into the ring as a competitor. I don't know that I buy into that theory. It sounded like the injuries were pretty real. The sentiment in the locker room and you know, it made mainstream media news. So, I mean, to me, I just don't see that happening. I would love to see Daniel Bryan wrestle again, but if it's not in the best interest of his health, obviously, I wouldn't want to see that happen. So what is your take? Do you think that this could have been a work all along and it's something to set him back up, Daniel Bryan, that is, to get back into the ring?
Well, we discussed this the other day. I think it, from what I remember reading, and again, we're speculating on, we don't know.
Right.
But apparently Daniel had been cleared by a couple of doctors, just not the WWE's doctor.
Right.
To confirm. So I don't think this was a long-term plan, but I can see them waiting until Daniel was closer to being 100% healed before letting him back in the ring. I just hope if he does come back that he tones down his style. There's no need to keep doing diving headbutts and the suicide dives into the barricades. But I also think he's the type of person who it's either going to be 100% or nothing. You know, you look at Steve Austin when he suffered his neck injury and how he changed his entire style, and which, as a fan, I look back now and I don't like, because he just became a punch kick type of wrestler that fit into that WWE main event style during the Attitude Era, instead of being the technical wrestler that he was before. And I don't want to see Bryan become that. I don't think he could pull it off successfully.
Yeah.
But if Daniel does come back, I think it's a catch-22, because on the one hand, the fans are going to be very receptive to him coming back. But at the same time, if he doesn't automatically get back into that title picture, it's going to be the last 2 years all over again. And I think the fans will not accept anything other than Daniel Bryan being champion.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And I've also read that the WWE has scrapped the whole Daniel Bryan Miz storyline, which is why Daniel apologized on Talking Smack this week to The Miz, because the segment didn't go in the direction that they thought it was going to go.
Mm.
Which, if that's the case, then I don't understand it, because why you have this red hot angle, but because it didn't go exactly the way that you had it mapped out, you have to cancel it. Like, I think that's one of WWE's biggest issues over the last 15 years, is not capitalizing on things when they're hot and trying to be like, no, this is what, you know, it's instead of letting the fans have a say in what they want to see, WWE is just like, no, this is what you want. We're going to give you, you know, you want Roman Reigns as champion.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't. Well, no, you want this. Believe it. We know better than you.
Bray Wyatt will take on Randy Orton, who, as we talked a couple weeks ago, got the piss beat out of him at SummerSlam by Brock Lesnar. I still like that line. You know, logic tells me never bet against Randy Orton, but Bray Wyatt, I think, needs this more than Randy Orton does. I could almost see a returning Luke Harper helping out here, because I don't think Harper is signed to either SmackDown Live or Raw at this point. I just think Bray Wyatt needs the win here more than Randy Orton does. But I also learned a long time ago, never bet against Randy Orton unless he's facing Brock Lesnar. So what are your thoughts on Orton and Wyatt?
Well, I was going to say, I learned a long time ago, never bet on Bray Wyatt. Like, he's never won a big match. I don't know where they're going with this, because the night before Backlash, there's a house show in Chicago where Randy is taking on Brock Lesnar in a rematch. And
what's your take on that? Why are they doing that as a house show? And I'm assuming it's not going to be, I mean, I'm sure there'll be cameras there, but it's not being promoted as being anything that folks can watch on the network or anything.
Yeah. Well, again, internet speculation is Brock Lesnar gets paid less for house shows than he does television or pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to save money.
Interesting. I didn't think Brock did house shows, so.
He's done a couple. He's done, you know, when they do the Japanese tour.
Right.
Or any show out here and at the Forum. And
I guess, like, yeah, the big cities, he'll do Chicago, yeah. L.A. kind of things.
Yeah, he's not doing Topeka. Or
he won't be in Cape Girardeau?
Probably not. Although he might do Winnipeg, since he lives near there. This match is... It's an interesting setup, although I don't really fully understand the setup, because I didn't pay that much attention to Bray Wyatt's promo on SmackDown last week. You know how I feel about Randy Orton, so of course I'm naturally going to pick Bray to win.
Mm-hmm.
as who I want. But I don't know where Orton just coming back and losing the way he did to Brock. I think you need... I read an interesting article the other day that said all these matches on Backlash, you can make a case for either person to win.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good sign of a good show. I'm with you. I think Bray needs the win and kind of reestablish the Wyatt family. But I could see Orton winning and then getting moved closer back to the title picture. So, I don't know. I'm going with Bray to win, but I'm expecting Orton to win.
All right. And the SmackDown Tag Team Championship Tournament finals are happening. Presumably this week on SmackDown, it's going to be the Usos versus American Alpha and the Hype Bros versus Rhino and Heath Slater, which, as I look at the final four, I see four babyface tag teams going into the semifinals here, which is interesting. I think that American Alpha will beat the Usos, and I think Rhino and Slater will beat the Hype Bros going into the pay-per-view. And I think this was set for... I think everybody has their money set on American Alpha, but I'm still going with Rhino and Slater, and I don't know exactly where they're going with it, but I've enjoyed the ride so far.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think those are the two logical teams to make the finals. I would like to see Slater and Rhino win, giving Slater his contract and can be on. Though, is there more interest in him continually trying to get a contract versus actually having one?
That's true. That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
But then again, how long can you ride this out before fans get tired of it?
Right. It's kind of like the Eva Marie thing with her entrances.
Yeah, it's like, can you keep interest in him?
Which Slater, to me, is kind of one of those guys. He's grown on me. I did not, you know, when he... I wasn't a big fan of 3MB, and I wasn't a big fan when he was in Nexus, but this evolution of him, I guess, for lack of a better word, I've enjoyed. And the vignette the other night where they went to his home and Rhino was eating the cheese and cracker, I thought it was good. I think that, you know, if you're going to produce the goofy, silly vignettes, they need that kind of element to them. I mean, sometimes they do those things and it's just hard to watch. This was enjoyable and entertaining to me. So, but you bring up a good point about how long can they sustain that versus you know, he wins the tag team titles, and then, you know, what happens next?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the problems with WWE. They either pay off too soon or they drag it out too late. Like, getting the timing just right, and granted, there's no answer to this because no one can foresee the future of what it is. But, yeah, I'm going to pick American Alpha to win the titles just because I think in the long run you have a better foundation to setting up your tag team division with American Alpha as the champs. And then, but I see hopefully within the next 2 to 3 weeks later doing something to get a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't. The Slater Rhino pairing is fine. I think they work well together. But I think when you're establishing your tag team division, do you want a makeshift tag team as your first title holders?
Yeah, that's a fair argument too. That's a fair argument. I could actually, I wouldn't mind any of the four. If I were telling you who I really want to see win it, I would pick the Hype Bros. I like Zack Ryder. What's that?
I was joking on the fact that that anybody would choose Mojo Rawley as.
Well, you know, I like Zack Ryder, and I do still feel bad about the whole Intercontinental title thing for him. So giving him the tag team titles would be a way of throwing a bone to him. But I wouldn't also mind seeing Curt Hawkins paired back up with Zack. But then what do you do with Mojo? Or maybe they become the new Day of SmackDown Live. I don't know. Don't kill me for saying that. Another championship will be determined, a new championship, the new SmackDown Women's title, a six-pack challenge. First time I think they've done that with the ladies, and that is Nikki Bella, Carmella, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, Natalya, and Becky Lynch. Six talented women going at it to determine the new champion. The only woman not on the SmackDown Live roster, and that is, of course, Eva Marie, who is still out on a wellness violation suspension.
What do you mean suspension? Didn't you watch SummerSlam? She is recuperating because of the fans' dislike of her. She has mental trauma.
I'm going to put it out there. I think I've said it before. I like the Eva Marie gimmick. I like the whole thing they're doing with her. I know people are probably yelling at their listening device right now, but I like her. I think that she, I just have enjoyed the way they have done this with her, and now with this suspension, you know, I worry about what will happen and become of her character once she comes back. But
I am with you. I think it's building interest in her debut, and I'm just curious because I don't know if you saw her recent Instagram photos, but she's changed her hair color.
Yes.
To black. And I just can't, I am curious if when she comes back, if she has the same black hair, if she's going to become all black everything, Eva Marie, and then they somehow pair her up with the primetime players.
God. Wrong show, bro.
Anyway, Eva, not in the match. My biggest fear is that they're going to go with Nikki Bella.
I agree.
I think that it's not the way to go.
She's like prominently the first, which I guess she is of the six. You could make the argument that she has been the most successful of the six women, despite the fact that maybe not the most talented, but of course wrestling isn't always based on who is the most talented. There's just something about her, Nikki Bella, that is, and I'm not trying to be a hater, but there's just something I have not connected with her as a fan. I just do not see it as far as being a fan goes. If I were to pick some, I wouldn't mind it being Natalya. I wouldn't really mind it being anybody. But Nikki, but I would like it to be either Becky Lynch, who I think is the obvious choice, or Natalya, but I don't see it being Natalya. I could see it being Becky, though, and setting up a feud maybe with Nikki. I don't know. I can't see Nikki not being in the picture somehow, though.
Right. To me, though, I would go Natalya, and then that sets up the feud with Becky chasing.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now you figure Nikki Bella is feuding with Carmella. And I think it's too soon to put Carmella into a title hunt.
I agree.
Naomi, there's still... She's another one that I just not connected with as a fan. Like, I don't... Not that, you know, there's anything wrong with her wrestling. I just... She's still a Funkadactyl to me.
Mm-hmm.
Has not made the transition to serious wrestler. So give her, you know, give her another 6 months or so, and hopefully that my view will change. And Alexa Bliss, I think, is also too new. Although I can see her being champ, but I'm going with Natalya. I think Natalya is the right choice. Although, if I were actually putting money on it, I would put money on Nikki Bella.
Yeah.
Because I've learned a long time ago, you'd never bet against Cena.
This is true. Let's see. Now we're to the world title match. WWE World Championship. Dean Ambrose defends against AJ Styles. I like both these guys. This is going to be another one of those matches, kind of like how the SummerSlam Universal Championship with Rollins and Finn Balor went. I'm not going to be disappointed if either one of these guys walks out as champion. I hate seeing the title go back and forth many times over. So I think I would like to see Ambrose walk out as champion from this encounter, and maybe we set up for Survivor Series and AJ becomes champion at Survivor Series. Or down the road a little ways. I don't want to see it happen too soon, but I do think it's inevitable that AJ Styles is going to be the world champion just after beating John Cena, and kind of he's the cock of the walk. He's the face that runs the place now, as he says. And then you have the inevitable championship match between Cena and Styles. I assume that's where they're going with this, but again, I don't like speculating and predicting things because, you know, when I'm wrong, I actually like to be wrong because it means that it wasn't expected. So that's my speculation. AJ eventually wins it, but I don't know that it's going to be at Backlash.
I agree with you. I think there's going to be some type of shenanigan ending, whether it be double pin, double count out, EQ, because I don't think AJ is going to win the title in his first shot. But I agree with you that I think AJ will be the one to dethrone Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they go with Orton. I think this will be, this should be a really good match, but I don't see AJ winning the title here unless they want to do something, because you're already crowning new tag team champions and a new women's champion. I would hold off a title change just to kind of put emphasis on those two titles being established.
Yeah, that's another good point that I didn't think about. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Because theoretically, I mean, I think the least likely title to change hands is going to be the Intercontinental, and then, you know, the world title. But yeah, you make a good point about keeping a little bit of stability when you're crowning two new champions, and you can kind of keep the focus on the new women's champion and the new tag team champions. Anything else on your mind as we begin to wrap up this episode of My 1-2-3 Cents?
Well, I think it's interesting that 2 weeks after Backlash, we have Clash of the Champions, which is Raw's first brand-only network special. I'm curious how long it's going to be before people get burnt out on the network specials.
Do you think that this, you know, because we saw with WrestleMania, we saw with SummerSlam, and I even think the pay-per-views in between, they were going over, you know, because usually you could set your watch by it, and by, you know, 9:45, 9:50 Central Time, the show was wrapping up, and obviously now we're going well beyond that and into the 10 o'clock hour. Will these smaller events backlash, like the brand only events, do you think that they'll keep them a little tighter? I mean, obviously they don't have the number, they don't have the number of talent, but maybe this will give us longer matches. I don't know. What do you think?
I hope so. I there's no reason for a show. I think both WrestleMania and SummerSlam, especially when you include the pre-show, were way too long.
Oh yeah.
And I don't see I would actually be okay with them making these network shows, these brand specific shows, back to like the old In Your House, where it was like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, we're already getting longer matches on Raw and SmackDown, but when you do a pay-per-view, and you have so many background packages, skits. SummerSlam saw the inclusion of the KFC commercial. You know, it's just sometimes you get too bogged down with extraneous material, and keep the focus on the wrestling. And as you said, I don't think they have the talent there. But then when every match is 20-25 minutes, nothing seems special.
Right.
And I'm trying to think, I made this comparison to another show recently, and I can't remember which one it was. But yeah, it's like wrestling needs variety. And when you have when every match is basically the same layout, you know, where face starts off, then the heel gets the upper hand, the baby face makes the comeback, and you know, everything just runs together. So I hope the show at least does not go over 3 hours. I would like to see it stick to maybe two and a half. But how many matches are there? Six, seven?
Six so far.
Six so far, yeah. I can see them. I can see definitely 3 hours. But yes, hopefully no longer than that.
Yeah, keep it to that. Well, folks, I want to remind you too, be sure to head over to iTunes, leave a review, screenshot that review, and tag us on @my123cents on Twitter or on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/my123cents. And in October, we will be doing some drawings and giving out some great prizes from the My123cents vault. And Chad, we've got blogs and podcasts and YouTube videos, all kinds of stuff. So check out my123cents.com for the very latest. And I would assume that you may be writing a little bit about King of Trios with Chikara sometime this week.
I hope so.
At least posting something on Facebook about it.
Yeah, I mean, I am impressed that Chikara is getting the shows on the Chikara. Let me rephrase it. They're not getting them up on the Chikaratopia for streaming, but you can order all three nights of King of Trios for $29.99, and then they got day one up about 12 hours after it finished. I'm waiting on, as we record this, I'm waiting on day two to be posted, which I think is an amazing turnaround for them. And it's good that, because as someone who doesn't like to, who likes to remain spoiler free, if I had to wait 6 weeks for the show to go up on the Chikaratopia, I would pretty much have to stay off Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah.
And I've actually had to unfollow people on Twitter because I don't want to know things that are happening. Night one was a solid opening. I'm curious to see how this show plays out. So yeah, I'm sure I will have something about that. And I also have an idea for a blog about how Raw and SmackDown kind of wrestle in a vacuum, where each segment is a standalone instead of being part of a cohesive flow. So we'll see if I get that written today or tomorrow.
Alrighty, look for that over at my123cents.com. Everyone, thanks so much for listening, sharing, and spreading the word about My123Cents. We'll talk to you next week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.